us have got a different story, how we've encountered God. And it's so exciting. And a testimony is so powerful because my story is personal to me. Your story is personal to you. And once you start this journey, wow, it's exciting. It's exciting. So I'm going to share some things today that some of you won't know about. Some of you will know some of the bits. There are some personal things in it, but I listened to Mix yesterday. Oh, it was so good. So good. And I checked with Andy and I said, how much do I put in and how much do I not? And my husband has guided me. And it's been really, really good. And that means it's going to be all right, Mark. So my story and my facts, as I've just said, are personal. But my journey started a lot earlier than arriving here. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit of pre. And some of the stuff I'm going to tell you today gives context of how God has been so amazing and how God continues to be so amazing. Okay, are we recording? Perfect. All right. So when I was kind of under 10 years of age, I used to pray the Lord's Prayer. I'd learnt it at school. I'd never been to church. I'd never been to Sunday school. But I learnt the Lord's Prayer at school, and sometimes my parents would row, and it was always in the dark. And I was under 10, I was probably about 7 years of age, around about six, seven, eight. And when they rowed, it frightened me. And I used to sit in bed, and quite as soon as I could say the Lord's Prayer, I used to say the Lord's Prayer. So I was aware of God, even though I wasn't really taught about God. And then from the age of 11 or 12 up to being 14, I became very, very angry, incredibly angry. And there was a reason for this. I was very frustrated. I just discovered that my dad, who was always known, wasn't my birth father. And it was such a shock to me. And the thing that was difficult about it was that I wasn't allowed to ask any questions. I wasn't allowed to discuss it. And I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone. So I just found out this news awkwardly and had nowhere to go with it. And it was bottled up. So you can imagine that as a younger teenager, how frustrated I was and how angry I was. And I felt deceived. I felt betrayed. Everyone I looked at, grandparents and family members, all knew about me, but I didn't know. And I can't tell you how that felt, and I was so, so angry. And I had to keep it to myself. And everything I knew in the world that was familiar had suddenly fallen apart. It shook my world. It was then about 14, I was walking across a field and I prayed this prayer. My first prayer in my own words, I remember like it was yesterday. God, if you are real, make yourself known to me because this life is rubbish. And that really, really summed up how I felt. And then over the next few weeks, I was looking for things to do over lunchtime at school. I volunteered at the school library, which I absolutely loved. When I was a child, I used to kind of read. I read so much when I was a child, and it was probably my way of dealing with everything that was going on around me. I used to just read and read and read. And I had a love of books, and I loved the library. And I also found out that there was a Christian club. It was a Christian school club, and it had been started by pupils, and I've converted it into today's language, they were in year 11, yeah, not the fourth year, like the rest of us know, year 11, and that was Linda Thomas at the back, Andy Moores, Sue Hume, and a guy called Alan Molyneux, and they'd started up this club in the school. How amazing is that? Wow. They'd started up this club. And I went along, and I listened to what they said, and I thought, agree with that. Mm. And, you know, going back, no Sunday school, no church, no nothing. I thought, hmm. And they invited me here. And I came here. I loved it. And then this extension on the front, so if you can imagine those two doors there, they were the front door, and an extension was put on, and they had this service to celebrate the extension. And I'm sure a few of you were here at that service. Well, that was 1977. September 1977. And I got invited to that service. And we were all facing that way then. And I got invited to that service. And a guy called Clifford Beasley, some of you remember that name, was the speaker. And he spoke on, do you want a double portion of God? That's what he spoke on. Yeah, and I was listening to him, probably somewhere in the middle of probably this bit here, facing that way, listening to this man saying, do you want a double portion? And I thought, I do. I do. And I was 14 years of age, and I thought, I do. I want what God's got for me. I don't know what it is, but I want it. I walked through that door there, this little door here. I walked in, said a prayer in there, asking God into my life. I asked him to take away everything that I'd ever done wrong. I asked him to know him, and I expected to know him. That was my prayer. I wasn't messing about. I wanted to know him. And you know, all my baggage, all my baggage, pop it on there. All my baggage fell off. All that baggage of not knowing who I was, who my dad was, where I'd come from, how it had all happened, anything. I came out of that room, and you know the program Stars in Your Eyes, where they go in with Matthew Kelly as one person and they come out as somebody else. I'm not being funny, that's how I was. I was transformed. I came out of that room knowing that God was my father. I came out of that room completely clean. I came out of that room with the baggage off me. That burden, those secrets, those, they weren't lies. My parents were trying to protect me. It all fell off. And at that moment, and since then, I belong to God. It was a fantastic transformation. God knew exactly what I needed. I had a lot of opposition from home. And I can understand it. My parents didn't know what I was getting involved in, and I can understand that. And when Clifford Beasley prayed for me at the front, he prayed for me and he said, God, I pray for Susan. And it was really funny because I thought, he knows my name. He knows my name. I don't know this man. And I'd forgotten, I'd got a belt on around my waist, and it had, in those days, you used to have your name. It was one of the fashionable things, Susan, around my waist. Oh, it's funny. And, you know, Carmel is a great place. I have grown up here. I've grown up here. After coming a few weeks, I made new friends. And God just came in such a way. And you know, when I had that experience with God, I can only describe it as, it was like coming home. Like coming home. Slide one. Can we just turn down the front lights, if we can, just to, because it's not always easy to see these photos. Can you see that? That's me being baptised. A mere little slip of a thing, as you can see. I was 15. I asked my parents, would they come? They didn't want to come, but my little sister came. There was two of us at home. My little sister came. My problems didn't disappear. You know, when we come to God, our problems don't disappear. And anybody that preaches that gospel, it's wrong. They don't disappear. There were still tensions at home. Lots of unanswered questions. But as I read my Bible, I learned some very, very key verses. Slide number two. I am convinced, Romans 8, 38, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today and our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky down or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I absolutely hung on to that verse. That is probably the verse that sustained me the most in those early years when I was really struggling. And then my Bible verse was the third slide, Joshua 1 verse 9. Be strong and courageous. And I needed to be. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the next scripture is really important as well, because I was growing up in a family where obviously my sister had different beginnings than me. And I had to kind of accept that in God as a new Christian, that my sister had a different start to me and different, you know, she had her dad and I had my dad, but, you know, it was a different beginning. And although my beginnings were different, I read this scripture quite early on. It's Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. I'm going to have to turn around because I can't read it on the backboard. So, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. This was so important to me. It gave me a feeling of sense of purpose. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That gave me place. Peace. Do you want to come up, Annabeth? Lovely, thank you. So, peace. Don't matter if it falls off. Right, I'm just going to put it there. You've all seen it. Pop it there. Peace, so John 14, verse 27, the next slide. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My journey has been one where God has completely held my hand and I have been gently led, gently taken, and I've taken him into every situation, every conversation, everything I've ever had to do, he's given me that peace. This next slide, number 6, is one of my favourite slides. This is me and my little grandson, Freddie. This was taken 18 months ago. We're walking into the beach, and my sister, my daughter-in-law took it, and when I saw it, I loved it because it's the two of us. But do you know what I also loved? I looked at it and thought, that's just like me and God. That's just like me and God. I've always been like this. God has given me new experiences, helped me find solutions to life's problems, instructing me, leading me, showing me where I need to go and where I shouldn't go. It's both. Light. Who's got the light? Come and bring the light. Thank you. I hope you're enjoying those biscuits. I hope you get a biscuit. God has been my physical light, every job application, every interview. It says in Psalm 119, verse 105, that you're a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My God has been a light to my path. He's closed doors, he's opened doors. I've had to go into meetings sometimes, and some of you will understand this, but as a woman, I've gone into a meeting full of men. And when in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, that was a massive thing for women. It's getting better and better now, but it was massive then. To go into a room with our men who were suited and booted and have to talk to them and discuss stuff with them, it was quite daunting. But, you know, I didn't go in on my own. God was with me. I used to walk in and say, "We're together, God. Go in." And, you know, one of the things that's brilliant is our God is creative. God created the universe, the world. God created everything. And, you know, I've had a great career. And during my career, I've sat in meetings and I've come up with a really out-of-the-box idea. And it's not been me, it's been God. The creative stuff, solutions, stuff that people have gone, "Wow." But it's not been me. You know, I can't take the glory for it. It's been God. It's been God. I've done so many things. I could keep you here so long. I've had so many opportunities. I've met so many people. I have been so blessed. I've helped others surpass me in careers. I used to sit with people and say, "What do you want? What do you want to do next?" And then I'd give them opportunities. Then they'd have experience. Then they'd leave me. And then I'd have to find somebody to fill their job. It was great. But they went on, got better jobs, better careers. And that was how I felt. That's what I felt God wanted me to do. We serve each other, not just in the church, but out of the church too. I have learned so many skills that have equipped me for life and service here. I've been serving here since I was 19. And God has enabled me to use those skills here. And I am so privileged and blessed. God has been in the center. My church family and friends during those formative years were so important to me. My church family, I cannot emphasize how much you need church family. And if you're here today, you know, and sometimes our own families can be not dysfunctional in some way, and I mean that in a kind way. Sometimes we don't have the close relationships that we should. But this is a great family. This is church family. I would encourage you to be here as much as you can be, because you will be encouraged here. You'll be encouraged to go forward. You will be loved here. You'll be practically supported here. We are your family. We are committed to you. Don't be people who just come one week and not the next, because you'll really benefit from really being part of this family. I can't say that enough. The singing group that Mike spoke about last week, oh, when I listened to Mike speaking, oh, the memories that came back, Mick and Sylvia, Sue Hume, Linda and others, lots of fun and laughter. God has been so good. God has been the centre of our marriage, Andy and I. There he is. And I will be we will be celebrating 40 years this June being married. It's an achievement, isn't it? It's an achievement by God's grace. Both of us, by God's grace. No, by both of us, it is. It's an achievement for both of us. And Andy was just right for me. He got me and he understood me. Years later, when I met my other family, which I'll go into in a bit, and sisters that I didn't know, he knew how hard it was for me, as he also had a second family that he did not know about. So if you imagine two people were brought together at the altar there, and we both had families that we didn't know of. It's a bit like one of these television programs where you have another family somewhere else and you don't know where they are. We both had that. You know, you think about that, how God has brought two people together like that in this place. It was God's plan. Without knowing it, God brought us together with identical backgrounds. God knew what we both needed. We were blessed with a son, a gift to us. I'd previously been told at 18 that I may not be able to have children. So precious. And we are blessed now with his lovely wife, beautiful wife Michaela, Freddie and baby Harry. My prayer during my Christian life has constantly been for wisdom, because I've needed it to know how to act, how to react through life's very difficult situations. You see, we look at one another, and at times we look at one another and you can think, "Oh, they've had it easy. or they've not had anything, because on the outside, we all walk about, don't we? Like everything's okay. And it's really hard, but that's not how life is for any of us. I've needed God's wisdom to help me through difficult situations. Sudden loss has probably been one of been quite difficult for me. Big disappointments, and there have been them, and illness. Who's got the walking stick? Bring the walking stick out. Thank you. This is my granddad's walking stick. Granddad Horace. I brought this because I've had to use this in two periods of my life where I couldn't walk very well. I had a trapped nerve in my back and it affected my legs and I couldn't walk. And I've had two periods where I've had to use this. But it also demonstrates that I walk with God. I also walk with God. I've experienced God's healing. In 2006, I was on a theatre trolley, ready to be wheeled down for a new disc to be inserted in the back of my neck, when a consultant lifted up the film and he said, "There looks like this fluid round the discs." And he said, "It looks like your body's trying to heal itself." And I said, "No, God is healing me." I'm lay on this trolley ready to be wheeled down. And I just said, "Can it not be done?" And he went, "Yeah." And I said, "I feel that you've seen that today on the films, that I shouldn't have it done." And he said, "I'm really glad, because you've got one disc that is trapped the nerve, but the other disc looks like it's crumbling, and I thought I might have to replace two instead of one." And I just said, "I believe that God will heal me." And he went, "Great." So I rang Andy. He was my first conversation. I rang Mark. He was my second conversation. I went home. I was still in pain. I got a trapped nerve. I was still in pain. And I said to God, as I left Salford Hospital, "God, I'm trusting you to finish what you will, to complete this, what you've started, for you to finish it." For 3 years, I still had nerve pain. Nerve pain is like toothache every day. I had that for 3 years. And every morning, I used to wake up and I used to say, "God, I believe that you're going to heal me." Every morning, it's the first thing I did when I woke up. "God, I believe you're going to heal me." And 3 years, one day I woke up and I wasn't in pain. God is amazing. The main theme of my story is of restoration, physically and in relationships, in my life when things were broken. So, you know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 11 where there's a full list of all the things that God has done. This is my Hebrews 11. After praying for my mum for 17 years, she became a Christian here in an Easter service. The dad who brought me up proudly walked me down this aisle in 1986, knowing he was loved and honoured, and I honoured him all my life, and he passed away 3 years later. Our relationship at that point was the best it could ever have been. I met my birth father, but unfortunately it wasn't successful, and although we both tried, and we did, I couldn't connect with him. He passed away soon after. God still promised me, Joel 2, verse 25, he gave me this scripture and he said, and I clung on to this, "I will restore the years that the locusts have taken away." And although I didn't see it at that point, and that experience with my birth father wasn't good, I said, "Lord, I'm still waiting for you to restore those years." And I knew as soon as I heard that in this place, that that was for me. I had a hope of restoration because our God is merciful and can renew that which is lost through life's circumstances. That's really important, that. We lose things sometimes through life's circumstances. God can restore them. I want you to put the next picture up. This is a picture I'm particularly proud of. These are my sisters. I met the one on the one in the black and white. I met her when I was 26. The other two sisters, the one in the middle and the one on the end, I met when I was 45 and 46. This is my new family. It's taken 10 years ago now. I had missed weddings, had missed births of children of my nieces and nephews, but God made new memories for us to share. Our relationships are great, and even better than most normal families. God has restored, but in God's economy, he has done far more, far more. We are so close. And I have my little sister that I was brought up with, and we are so close too. I have learned that what is important to God, what is important to me, is important to God. I've learned that. God is so interested in our detail and the small things. I read the other day in a Christian, in something, and it said, God is like being your companion. And when I read it, I had this reaction, and it was no. No. He's much more than that. He's much more than a companion. No. And as I was writing this, I thought, no, he's not a companion. So please understand as I share what I've shared. He's my King of Kings. He's my Lord of Lords. He's my complete joy. He's my healer. He's my counselor. He's my provider. He's my Prince of Peace. He's my everlasting Father. He's the great I am. He's the sovereign King over every situation. Every situation that we have, and there are difficult situations in this room, our God is over it. He is sovereign. He is sovereign, and he will make a way. He will make a way. He's a miracle worker. The one who is and is to come. He's been interested in every detail of me. And you know what the good news is? That he is the same for you. Things I haven't even spoken about, God has answered. Sometimes I've not even said even a prayer. I've thought something and before I know it, it's been sorted. We sing a song, who am I that you would welcome me? He is the King of Glory. So as I finish, I have to say this. If you don't know him, or you've been on the edge, I'd encourage you, jump in. Jump in. Be like the little girl who came to God and said, I want a double portion. Don't settle for second best. There's nothing he can't do. There's no situation he can't restore. There's no brokenness he can't heal. Give him everything. He takes what we give. I feel in some ways, at some points, I've given God as much as I can, but sometimes it's just felt like crumbs. I've just given him the bits that I've had. But you know, God has taken them and he's multiplied and multiplied and multiplied in his name. It's a bit like the feeding of the 5,000. He takes us. Andy and I were watching the Olympics yesterday, some of the events, and one of the United footballers was talking, and he was talking about, you know, how in the Winter Olympics they've got to have grit and determination and so on. And he used a phrase, and I've adapted it, and it said, I've applied it this way. He takes us from an ordinary life to the best life we can live. And we have so much more. Not that we're better. It's not that we're better at all. It's that we have an ordinary life and he can make us have the best life. Thanks for listening.